Hey, earners, did you know that the black community has $2.7 trillion of spending power? Are you ready to see what you can do when you combine and recirculate our resources to expand the pool of black excellence? I know I'm ready, and that's why we've partnered with Greenwood, the in-demand black-owned digital banking platform. Greenwood's namesake was founded in 1906, built from the brilliance of black dreamers looking to create a self-sufficient community in the Greenwood district of Tulsa, Oklahoma, aka Black Wall Street. Today, Greenwood is a digital banking platform with the mission to strengthen the black dollar using the same community reinvestment strategies of the original Greenwood district. And it's powered by a best-in-class mobile app that allows you to bank from anywhere. So, earners, if you're ready to build a new legacy of black economic achievement, go to bankgreenwood.com/EYL and sign up to be a part of the new Greenwood community. That's bankgreenwood.com/EYL. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
What's up?
What's going on? Let's get it rocking.
All praises due.
Yes.
So the Dunn language, get in here.
Live from the Valley of the Kings. Luxor, Egypt.
I need everybody to put that on their bucket list. If it's not on your bucket list, change your list.
Yeah, we wanted to do something outside today to really give you a full vibe. You can't really see from our hotel, but
yeah.
In the back, we are overlooking the Valley of the Kings. And it's a very, very amazing view. So we really wanted to do something outside, but you know, Wi-Fi and a lot of other natural issues wouldn't let us do that. So, figure we played it safe and just do it.
We'll keep posting pictures, though.
Yeah.
We got y'all on the pictures. Got y'all.
But it's all good, man.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It's all good.
Y'all looking regal.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, how you feeling?
So good, man. Feel amazing, man. Got a chance to go to the Valley of the Kings today in Luxor, Egypt.
We skipped the part. Let's not skip the part where we were in a hot air balloon.
Oh, yeah, we did a hot air balloon.
Let's not skip that.
It was a great experience. It was definitely a dope experience, man.
And we got to do it with our families, which makes it crazier because we all experienced it for the first time together. Being up there, what was it, like 600 feet? Over watching the sun rise over the Nile River in the Valley of the Kings. I'm trying to paint the picture.
It was a vibe, man. Check my Instagram stories out if you want to know what happened. But I just want to talk about just Egypt for a little bit because it's definitely been a great experience. And we were in Nigeria last week. Now we've been in Egypt for a week. And, it's just been dope, man. We went to the pyramids at Giza, and that was an amazing experience to see the pyramids first up and close in person, firsthand experience, everything that we always read about in history. We got to see the Sphinx. And then today we went to the Valley of the Kings. So people might not be familiar with the Valley of the Kings. The Valley of the Kings is in Luxor, Egypt, which is an hour plane ride from Cairo. And the Valley of the Kings is where the pyramids was actually built as tombs for the pharaohs. But they realized that it caused a lot of attention because, obviously they're easy to see and they became very popular. So the tomb raiders used to raid the tombs and take everything out. So they got an idea to move all of the pharaohs to the Valley of the Kings.
Yeah. Who came up with the idea? You remember?
I forgot.
Oh.
So, but the
I'm going to tell you. Can I tell you? Okay. So it was the only female pharaoh in the history of Egypt. Hatshepsut, right? The pharaoh Hatshepsut, she came up with the idea. So she was the first one to move to the Valley of the Kings. The only female in the Valley of the Kings.
Yeah.
So, what a fun fact.
So the Valley of the Kings is a place where all of the pharaohs, their bodies got moved, and then all of the pharaohs going forward were buried. So they built a whole city with immaculate temples. Mm-hmm. And this time, instead of building the burial ground in pyramids, they built it underground. Mm-hmm. So they built their tombs in a mountain, which that's the Valley of the Kings. And it's intricate pathways to go under the ground.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was treasure, there was hieroglyphics. There's still stuff to this day, the hieroglyphics. We saw the actual mummy of King Tut.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting that in some of my stories.
But then there's different temples as well. So
hold on, because there's a couple of things we gotta talk about. So like these little details that we gotta understand. And so there's 62 tombs, right? And depending on the length of their rule, depending on how long their tombs were. So we have some that go like kilometers down, like in depth. We went through a few of them. And it's very interesting because I'm just like, when we look at it, we're looking at written language, we're looking at hieroglyphics, we're looking at architecture, we're looking at math, we're looking at science, all at the same time, and we're looking at the origin of it. And so in my mind, I'm just thinking like, these might be the greatest human beings that have ever walked the earth.
Absolutely.
Like, this is amazing to see.
Highly advanced civilization.
I got it.
And yeah, I mean, it's no debate. If you look on the walls of the pyramids, even, you know, the tour guides and all that, you know, you could tell what color their skin was because it's the color that they used to color it. And it's still there. And their skin color was my skin color, Troy's skin color, Ian's skin color, brown skin, brown skin people. So, you know, the mothers and fathers of civilization, as far as, you know, Greeks and Romans, you know, they got their civilization from Egypt. It's an amazing. I can go on and on and on about it. But
even with hieroglyphics that being used as emojis now and tablets coming from that era and being adopted over.
We spoke about it a little bit earlier, but even how the pyramids were plated in gold, the outside, the original pyramids plated in gold. And if we think about technology now, you were like, wait, what's that? The difference between that and solar panels?
Solar panels. Yeah, that's what they got.
That from 3,000 years ago. Like, just think about that.
And scenarios knew 6,000 years ago that the earth tilted at 1% rotation and every 70. That's why I tell you guys, like, if you go study there are a whole bunch of life lessons that are there. And then you guys, I asked you earlier, like, what was the energy like? You're like, it's amazing. There's certain places that are more special energetically. And even after all these thousands of years, it's still one of the greatest wonders. And so, like, a lot of things that we know in human civilization comes from that point. So. Sure. I can't wait to talk offline. I'll say that.
And before we go, like after we do this, I'm still gonna go back outside because, like we said, the Nile River is right behind us.
Yeah.
And so, just learning the history of that, like we know it as the longest river in the history of the world, but just how civilizations were built around it. We found out how it used to flood. Like even Luxor, the city of Luxor, like monuments were underwater, and they're still discovering. Like we went to a temple today, and they were like, look. 2 weeks ago, we just discovered this under dust because there's been ruins. And so it's just a fascinating place.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you don't have this as something that's on your bucket list, change your list.
Please.
I wish I was there. So everybody else in the comments that got FOMO, me too. Trust me. But I know the lessons there are incredible.
We can have a whole 2-hour Market Mondays, Egypt's edition, but I know people's here to learn about stocks, but I just wanted to just, you know, talk about that briefly before we start the show. So greetings from Egypt. And yes, we enjoy traveling. So, okay, let's give the quick rundown of what we got going on and let's get into this. So first of all, shout out to Revolt. Episode 2 will be out on the Revolt app. I believe it's out on the Revolt app today, right?
Today.
Soldier
episode?
No. That's these dope entrepreneurs out of LA, and they have a coffee empire called Hilltop Coffee Company, right?
Gotcha. Hilltop, yeah.
AJ.
I'm gonna mispronounce his name. So yeah. I'm not say.
Those are my guys, though, man. But they really dope. They got they're entrepreneurs, and they got a coffee shop in Inglewood on Slauson. They opened up a new restaurant on Slauson. So they're real neighborhood guys, and it's a real community feel, real EYL like type of vibe. Yeah. You know, business owners, local business owners that's really doing their thing. Like, they really got a bunch of like Issa Rae's an investor, lot of like, you know, celebrities in the LA area. So that'll be out on the Revolt app. And shout out to Rick Ross, man. That episode's doing wonderful.
Yeah, that episode's incredible.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. So Tuesday, tomorrow, EYL, we got a surprise. So we did an episode out here in Egypt with my boy Muhammad.
Muhammad Abgunaga.
So he is a fintech superstar. And he dropped a lot of gems. He's from Egypt. So that was a live podcast that we did at the top of the Ritz-Carlton. So we're going to drop that tomorrow.
Can we just talk about that experience?
Legendary. Extremely legendary.
Beautiful.
Incredible.
Shout out to my guy Clint, who was out there. What was the biggest lesson that people can look forward to when they listen to it tomorrow? that you gained from him?
Well,
a bunch of them, bro.
It's a bunch of them.
There's a bunch of them.
The one for me is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So he was part of the Uber of Egypt. And called Kareem. So Kareem was the Uber of Egypt. They really copied Uber's idea. Long story short, Uber recently purchased them for $3 billion. So he was saying that happens a lot in Egypt. Like, you know, they don't really start a lot of like brand new ideas, but they look at what, you know, other tech companies over the world are doing and they just localize it in their area and, you know, they make a killing. So that was one of it. Yeah. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just add some spice, and especially if it's something locally that has not been done in your area or your region. So that was definitely
That's a gem. And I would also add, a lot of people are at jobs right now and they're in careers, but that doesn't mean they can't be entrepreneurs. And so one of the things he did while working at Kareem is create a mobile app service. He added ride hailing to it. And so he learned the lessons from that. Again, not reinventing the wheel and actually learning from what he was doing in his career. So shout out to Muhammad. The episode is incredible. The visuals are out of this world. I actually lost my thought. There's a part of the episode where I look back and I see the sun setting over the Nile.
Yeah.
And I forgot what I was going to say. And I was just like, oh, like, whoa. I just, and I'm okay with admitting it. It was ridiculous. So that's going to be a dope one, y'all.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. We'll make some other announcements later in the show because I know
there's a lot to talk about.
But before I start, I was going to talk about Market Mondays Live.
Let's do it.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
So Market Mondays Live, 11/26, Black Friday. Okay, I need you to understand something. This is in New York City. Mm-hmm. This is Harlem. Mm-hmm. This is the
get a card for those of you asking. Get a card.
It's New York City. It's not our rules. It's New York City rules. But this is the Apollo Theater. Okay, so Ian Dunlap will be putting on a masterful performance, as always. Troy will be talking to all the stuff that he talks about his research. You know, he's a research
guru.
He's on it at 22 hours a day. He's looking at stock charts. You know, I'll be talking about some financial planning. We will definitely have some surprise guests. Musical performance. We have to have a musical performance in Harlem. Who else better would there be than Dipset? Dipset will be in the building. Shout out to Jim Jones. Of course, that
was dip.
I felt like that was just a perfect. It made all the sense in the world. Saturday.
You guys stay tuned. You guys may get another versus, so stay tuned. Come up. Shout out Styles, Jada.
Shout out to the D Block.
It only makes sense, Army. Right? We in Harlem. We on 125th.
Hey, man. The anthem gonna go off.
Yo, don't miss the show, man. Saturday. Red Panda Snipers will be in the building talking about futures. MG the Mortgage Guy will be in the building talking about real estate on Saturday. Chico, shout out to our guy Chico, will be in the building talking about stocks. Me, Troy, we will be in the building doing what we do. Ian Dunlap will be in the building. This is an opportunity to actually network with us, build on a one-on-one level.
Bring your laptops if you want to learn how to trade. You want to be able to hit those big targets for those of you that miss InvestFest. Put yes in chat if Holy Trinity was fire at InvestFest. If you missed out on making big money, please show up. That Saturday going to be amazing.
Legendary performance. So before the tickets sell out, because they will sell out, I 100% guarantee they will sell out. MarketMondays.com right now. Get your ticket to the live show at the Apollo and get your ticket to the Saturday workshop. It's going to be a vibe. I promise.
And everybody who get a ticket for Friday, super bonus. Y'all been asking for the sniper program to come back. Everybody that gets a ticket for Friday, I'll put you on sniper for free.
I'm not
for the coach. I don't know who he is.
Let's break the internet.
What does he do for the coach?
Go tell your friends.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Break the internet. Free sniper program entry for anybody that has a ticket for the Apollo Theater. So that's it. No more else to say. It will be extremely disappointed if this is not sold out by tomorrow.
We got another bomb that we're going to drop, but that we ain't going to say what that is.
We got another one. So yes,
Parker season,
marketmondays.com. Get your tickets. Don't miss this opportunity. It's going to be legendary. Everything we do is legendary. So this is right up the alley. So Troy, disclaimer.
Yeah, real quick, man. First and foremost, we got to give a quick shout out to Ally Financial. They are the leading digital service, financial service company with passionate customer service and innovative financial solutions. And they are relentlessly focused on doing it right and being a trusted financial service provider for both customers and community. So get with Ally to make the most of your money so you can save, invest, and spend on all the things that matter to you. Shout out to the good folks at Ally. And while you said MG, shout out to our brother MG. I'm not sure if all our earners paid attention, but him and our brother Julian Gordon, they put out some fire last Friday. So they did a webinar on how to acquire 10 doors in 4 years on Zoom, and it maxed out. They had like 3,000 people in there. It was pretty crazy. So here's what they try and do. They're going to help 300 people close their multifamily homes in 2022. So that's like 2 months away. So Matt obviously is going to teach financing. Julian's going to teach how to find multifamily deals. And so far, right now, they got 100 people, right, to close worth $25 million worth of multifamily homes in real estate. So they try to do this in 2022, and they have a free webinar that they did. And if you want to check it out, they have a deal. It's going to be airing up until midnight tonight. So make sure y'all did it. Go to it. It's www.get4321.com. I think they got a few slots left. So check that out if you're trying to close on homes. A shout out to those two guys. They had a monumental moment at InvestFest. And if you were there, you know what I'm talking about.
MG, the mortgage guy.
That's our brother. Shout out to him. Shout out to Julian. All right. Y'all know how this works. Do your own research, man. Please, please, please. And y'all been doing a lot better with that. I got to give everybody credit. A lot of people have hit me in the DMs showing me their homework. And so I appreciate that because I'm learning from your homework the same way that you learn from us. So that's what communities are built off of. All right. So our content is intended to be used and must be used for informational purposes only. It's very important to do your own analysis before making any investment based on your own personal circumstances. You should take independent financial advice from a professional in connection with or independently research and verify any information that you find on our show and wish to rely upon, whether for the purpose of making an investment decision or otherwise. This is a message brought to you by the good brothers at Earn Your Leisure and the good brother Ian Dunlap and Master Investor.
Yes.
The owner.
So, Ian, would you like to make your announcements now? Or
Stock club call. No stock club call tonight because, you know, I'm working on some big bonuses for you guys. And then, once again, Market Mondays live. I'm not opening a sniper back up. You guys been asking. If you want to get access to it, buy your tickets. That alone. Please put yes in chat. If you joined Sniper around this time last year and I've made you money, show up, show out. That is a blueprint. Stocks, long-term, futures, big gains. Let's go.
Let's get into this. So, all right. Here's the thing.
I know what you want to start.
Here's the thing. Yeah, you definitely.
I know what you want to start.
You know, we are seven hours ahead of time out here in Egypt. So, you know, it's kind of messes up your day. So I'm not really keeping up with the stock market the way I would keep up with if I was back in the States. But I heard, shout out to my brother Panama, I heard that
what up?
AMD was going crazy. So I looked at AMD and I saw AMD was up $15. So I'm like, why is it up $15? And then we found out that AMD is up $15. One of the reasons is that. So it all ties in. All this stuff ties in.
That's crazy. I told you guys to what.
We're talking about AMD for a long time. Not just AMD, but all of the semiconductor, SMH, NVIDIA, TSM, all of that. And we explained that, you know, it's a shortage of computer chips in the world, and it's probably going to be a shortage of computer chips in the world probably until like 2026, and everything runs on computer chips, and these are good companies to buy, and AMD, and they gaming history. We gave it a whole rundown.
And don't forget ASML. We can't, when we say that, we sometimes get... If you've seen what ASML has done since we spoke about it 3 weeks ago on Market Mondays, 4 weeks ago, out of this world.
Yeah.
Congrats.
So then we talk about the metaverse. We're talking about that a lot the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the metaverse, AR, VR, how that's going to change the world, how people are going to end up living in the metaverse. And we're talking about going metaverse crazy. Then Facebook, we've been talking about Facebook a lot, how they changed the name to metaverse. How, you know, all of the issues that Facebook has had, how they're trying to rebrand themselves and, you know, how they're trying to forge a new way
Meta going
forward, all that stuff. So all of this comes together with Facebook announcing that AMD will do the chips for their new metaverse. So what does that do that since AMD's stock skyrocketing? Now, we didn't know this. No way
you could actually predict. I know. You guys go back 8 episodes. We're not doing this. Go back 8 or 10 episodes, and I'm like, who are the two primary chip companies that service gamers. If you're a gamer, you know it's AMD. I have a Ryzen chip in my computer, and NVIDIA. So now with the integration of the metaverse, like a lot of it is foreshadowing, and we'll talk about Google going into healthcare later. But if you look at the go ahead.
What I was going to say is that specifically, like for me, I'll speak for myself. Specifically, I didn't know that Facebook was going to do a deal with AMD. But the reason why I doubled down on my AMD position when it was down is because I knew that AMD is an extremely valuable company, undervalued, and it's only going to go up from all of the different factors that we said. So sometimes when you know, like you can know that LeBron James is going to average 20 points and 10 rebounds. That's a pretty safe bet, right? Mm-hmm. You might not know when he's going to score 45 points, but he's going to score 40 points in a season. Mm-hmm. So if you put a bet that he's going to score 40 points in a season in 82 games, odds are he's going to hit it. Like, he might hit it the first game of the season. Yeah. He might hit it the last game of the season, but it's pretty likely he's going to score 40 points. Yeah. So that your odds increase drastically when you have an understanding of something.
Yeah, and that's Shai's perspective. And from my perspective, was like, look, we saw AMD consolidating, right? We saw the consolidation period. We were patient with it for 8 months. 8 months. We said, all right, we're going to add more to the position. Uh-huh. And we have these type of announcements when you have the cloud space going crazy, right? When you're talking about making new chips, and you didn't add was, not only did they say they're going to use AMD chips for their metaverse, but so did this company called Microsoft. Mm-hmm. You got Meta Platforms, formerly known as Facebook, and you got Microsoft saying that, announcing last week that they're going into the metaverse, and now you have AMD becoming the chip supplier for both of them. But also they're announcing that they're having new chips as well, and they have some pretty hefty cloud clients. And so that's going to help as well, right? Because the metaverse is obviously in the cloud. So you got Microsoft, you got Amazon. And
of course, with Microsoft owning Azure.
And you got Google. You got Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, and Facebook, well, Meta. Like, where else do you go?
It's a game of probabilities. So for those of you who are like, hey, okay, great, you caught it. Will it still go up? Yes. When you go to AMD.com right now and go look and see what they offer, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but when I tell you guys, you and leave everything else alone, the top companies are going to partner with those that are best at what they do to form conglomerates to corner a marketplace. So with all the NFT crypto, everyone needs higher speed processors. Intel's not getting it done. So once AMD, and for those of you the game that's ever used the Ryzen chip, you know the power of it. You can only partner with the best if you're a top tier company, because your board of directors will be upset if they would have partnered with Intel and they don't have the capability to do so. Secondly, when things are this low, and shout out to everybody in Red Panda who's been in AMD since 20 and 30 and been holding forever, right? When it's at that low for that 5, 6, 7 month period, build a base. If you truly believe in a company, and if it's top two in the space, your ultimate goal is to get to 10,000 shares. For those you with more money, you want to get to 100,000. But there's a certain safety net that they have now partnering with Microsoft and Meta, that now you have two big enterprise clients that will fulfill their pipeline for 4, 5, 6 years. So my target for AMD is 316.23 in 18 months. Write that down. 316.23 is where it should go to. Hold, and if you look, in 2015, the low of that year was $1.61. Mm. So when people are telling you that you can't get high returns, if you were there at InvestFest, I proved that wasn't true. So is that 142.71 now? The low 5 years ago was 161. Please put in chat what that return is. Hold for the long term, please.
Please. Can you do that? And shout out to all the earners that are here with us. And, you know, the great thing about being amongst people who are becoming investors is that we get to talk to them because we've been in that position before. But we can speak about patience and talking about patience. We've been talking about AMD since 2020, right? Like early 2020, maybe like the first few episodes we were talking about it.
Yep.
And we got into some, I mean, I remember getting a 22 call for $75 22 call for January 22, and still have it, right? And just like, I'm just going to be patient with it to the point where it's like, all right, well, these are the results of having that level of patience in a position. And so, yeah, it's consolidated, it's going up and it's going down and it's swayed a little bit, but we trust the information, we trust our research, so we have to trust our investments as well, y'all. This is a valuable lesson.
It's really hard to lose if you're investing in something that's the top in their space. Going back, I know we haven't done the ball analogies in a while, but like, man, if you're playing with certain people, if LeBron is on your team, you have a certain amount of wins that you're going to have. Homework assignment for everyone. Please write this down. What is the average annual return for the top four companies in the processor space, in the chip space? That is a homework assignment I want you to do. Go look over the last 10 years. What is the average annual return? I know past performance doesn't guarantee things in the future, but there's a high probability if it's a top one or two company, what they're going to do year over year.
So, yes, let's talk about another chip company, NVIDIA. They also are
all-time
high today. So what's the deal with that?
I mean, it's like we're beating the drum over and over again, right? You just spoke about the reasons why we're investing in semiconductors, right? So, like, obviously, we know the gaming, we know the new technology, we know that it's the same formula, y'all, right? And we know the disorders coming. So,
but the interesting thing about that, a lot of people might have thought that would have been bad news because they're competitors. But even though AMD got those, you know, contracts, NVIDIA still went up as well. So, long story short, I'll let Ian speak about this as well. If
AMD is doing a partnership with those companies, then what is the probability when others, Apple, Google, et cetera, get into the space? What companies that can't do business with AMD is going to then reach out to NVIDIA and say, hey, we need your help here? Because the processing power, you don't want it glitching, you don't want delays. That's why I say the top companies. So there's only maybe 8 or 10 companies that could go grab NVIDIA, but once those partnerships start to form and this starts to scale, they are the engine of the computers. So there's going to be deals there for them, AMD, for years to come as the metaverse and these virtual reality lands begin to expand.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were like, what, after it split, it's like, I can't go up any higher. But all it's done is just continue to gain. And yeah, eventually there will be a pullback. But that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. When we invest, we calculate corrections into our investments. And so that's part of it. But again, I mean, there's a reason why we're in SMH. So every time we talk about AMD and we talk about TSM and we talk about NVIDIA, we also have the ETF that has all of them. And so that's another safe way. And we say it probably once a month. And so this is our once a month. If you want to be safe, you don't want to have as much exposure to singular positions, go get your ETF SMH.
There you have it, ladies.
Two tech, two index, no stress. And even with singular positions, just buy quality companies. Like, stop buying shitty companies. Like, remember when we first started, everyone was like, yo, 5G causes COVID. And then it was rotation was the biggest thing. Like, most of that shit that people talk about, it does not matter. What about earnings? Does not matter. Like, that's great for, and even with, like, even with Kiyosaki, no slight to him, but he was like, the market's going to crash in October. You guys have to realize that the money is made in media and telling you that a crash is going to come. In real life, the riches is in buying the bottoms and riding that shit to the top. Mm-hmm. You notice Ackman, Kathy, Buffett, they don't care about the pullbacks, and we shouldn't either. The media is selling clicks. So people know, they know if we talk about a crash, the views are going to be higher. Click-through rate, share rate is going to be higher. No one wants to talk about the long, but that's what all the money is. If you just focus on the companies that are going to dominate this generation and that are going to help the most, you'll be good. You don't have to guess that.
Yeah, I think one of the things I heard, and it was pretty good advice, is like, when every time we see a pullback, in my mind, I think, all right, we got higher lows, right? So it's a higher low than it was prior, right? So that means even if I bought it at $150 and it pulled back to $139, that might be the new low. It's a higher low than if it had gone down to $106 or something like that. And so there's always opportunity. if you look at it in that perspective. All right, well, we had a slight pullback, but it's a higher low than it had been.
Let me ask this to everybody listening. If right now you can go back to when AMD was first formed and they can turn over 50% of the company to you, would you like to own 50% of NVIDIA or AMD? Put yes in chat. So every pullback is an opportunity to own more of that company that is going to make you money on your own. There is no wealth accumulation without you owning a business. If you don't own a business outright how we do, you then have to buy into someone else's business. And that's why that 10,000 shares is so important. And I've seen a lot of y'all copying that. Please stop. Don't remix, reproduce my material, or my lawyer is going to do his lawyer thing. For everlasting freedom for your family, you need to get to 100,000 shares. And that's why I say in the crypto space, the thing that I do love there, they'll go balls to the wall and put everything that they can in and get as many coins as possible. Because you need a certain number of shares plus time to get to your freedom number. So if you guys want to be free, look at every pullback in a quality top tier company as an opportunity to buy more so you can get to freedom a hell of a lot faster.
Yeah.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I talk about one of my favorites over the past year?
Of course.
Yeah, because it's been a wild 2 days for this company that I've been telling everybody about. They had their earnings report on Friday, Live Nation, and skyrocketed. I think they went up at a high. They went up 22%. I know it was the stock. It just went crazy. And so the reason it did was because the numbers came back that they had an estimate of 148 million in revenue, but went to something like 2 billion. Future guidance looks incredible. They said 2022 is looking like a record year with amphitheaters and arenas and stadiums. All of them are having double-digit returns. And so Friday was great. It was great. And then Saturday happened. I believe it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday happened. And so, I just want to take the time out to say rest in peace.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Out to everybody who suffered at the Astro World tragedy, the event, Travis Scott concert. I believe you said 10. It was up to 10 people.
So don't quote me on that.
I know it was eight.
I believe.
Yeah, it was eight confirmed, but yeah.
And then tons of injuries. And so we saw today Live Nation stock pulled back 6%. And had a lot to do with that, because what happens in these situations is that Live Nation is responsible for the concert. And so there will be plenty of lawsuits that will come from it. And so these are the type of things when you're investing in the company and investing in business, these things happen. And so Friday was an amazing day for Live Nation. Today wasn't as great, obviously, because of the tragedy. And again, condolences to all the families who've lost a loved one. But I mean, this is a part of the business right now. Lawsuits will be happening, which will take from the bottom line of the company. And so we'll see. We'll see what measures they take going forward to try to alleviate some of these situations at concerts where you have a large amount of people moving in one direction and a lot of influences that are causing harm to a lot of people. So. Again,
I mean, and some of those people got stabbed. That's not being reported enough.
I read that. I did read that. And there's an investigation. Like you probably read the same thing I did. Like there was some type of stabbing. And
I mean, this is a few blocks away from me, though.
But
it wasn't just that people were hopping around and end up crushing each other. Like there was chaos that happened as a result. And people are getting stabbed and then instantaneously having a heart attack.
Yeah, that was one of the things they were saying. They were like, when they do an autopsy and see if cardiac arrest was the cause of the death, then you know they can further investigate some of those reports that there was somebody stabbing and some type of injection that was going to people's bodies that was causing cardiac arrest. So, I mean, all of it is crazy. And again, people's lives are lost. So, again, prayers go out to the family.
Yeah, for sure. Thoughts and prayers, but that's a very unfortunate situation for sure.
It's heartbreaking.
Okay, turning 180 from that. So Zillow. Mm-hmm. Okay, the number one Zillow mistake made ultimately caused the stock to drop 20%. So let's talk about Zillow. MD, the mortgage guy, would appreciate this conversation. Zillow.
Absolutely.
What is the deal with Zillow?
This is why I always tell people, You have to invest in a company that is number one in a space. And no matter what asset you buy, you have to buy it at a good price. So Zillow wanted to take Open Doors model and begin to buy houses, which is a great strategy. But when they're overinflating the price of homes and then driving the market up to be so frothy where people are selling their houses and getting same day offers, 70,000 above, they were causing a frenzy, which looked a lot like 2007. So whenever you're buying assets this fast, you have to get them at best price. They was paying a retail or max price, expecting it, this market to continue to go up. And that's why I always said on every episode that I could, it does not matter what you buy, cups, pens, palladium, t-shirts, stocks, you have to get in at the best price. And your price can also be a hedge for downward movement like this when everyone panics. And then it's a hedge against a lot of volatility as well. So they try to copy their model. I don't like companies that copy model. I like companies that innovate. And then when you begin buying houses at any price point, for those of you that lived through 2007 to 2008, this was the commercial version of that. And now they're underwater. The strategy is not working, because they didn't have the talent or all the acumen needed. They had the cash on hand. But if you're not buying at the right prices, that's why I always tell you guys, risk to reward means everything. I don't care if you're buying something for $1, $1,000, $1 million, $10 million, $100 million. You have to know, if I put my dollar into this, how much am I going to get out? You cannot hope that prices are going to go up, and a market cannot continue to grow at 30%, 40% as a result. And when the numbers came out, the stock dropped horribly, and now they're going to lay off 25% of their workforce as a result because of bad portfolio mismanagement. And we've all done it in our trades. That's why I say the discipline in trading and investing helps you focus on getting great prices for everything else. And this is just an example at scale. Doesn't matter how much money you have. If you buy at the wrong price, you can get your portfolio destroyed buying at a bad place.
Yeah. I mean, the quote from their stockholders meeting was they unintentionally purchased homes at higher prices than current estimates of future selling prices.
That's impossible.
So it's like, I mean, just reading that, it sounds like they're just blindly just buying homes. They had a $304 million write down inventory. Like, you're Zillow and you're just like blindly just taking homes, right? So now you have more homes than you can sell.
Not a good strategy. I mean, they had an incredible bounce from 2019. They went to $20. Of course, they shot up a ton. They went to 208. Great. I'm sure they were feeling themselves. And it was a good strategy. Like, if a company, but you have to do this at scale. You can't put all your chips in the middle of the table. But there is a market for people that want to sell their homes and get an instant offer, quick closing, because in this era that we're in, any company that helps us be more efficient or save time will win. On the business side, you have to calculate what the returns would be in the best case and worst case scenario. And even before this, I'm telling you guys to look at trend. Zillow had been dropping really since April. So when I'm like, hey, there's a top, I don't think that the housing market is going to fall apart, but a commercial player like this could affect it. Now, let's go back to Evergrande. Things are fucked up there in China. I said, hey, go look at players 2 through 4, because if the head of that market is getting destroyed, guess what? It may be some other problems over there as well. And then 2 through 3 in China are having problems. Now, they have an occupancy rate of 25% of inventory that cannot be sold. They're going to lay off 20% of their workforce, and they have a whole bunch. You think Zillow is the only commercial company at this point that bought a bunch of houses expecting for prices to keep rising at an unbelievable rate? No. So we're going to see some of these dominoes start to topple over. And we can see it now, even with this supply chain, inflation, everything's going up. They're giving us slow signs that another crash is coming. Very slowly. I put it out on Instagram last night, but I was reading a report by 2030, 25% of the workforce will be eliminated due to automation. I've been telling you guys about automation for at least a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So if we have a crash in 24, 27, that will lead in, well, we need a more efficient economy. And then we talked about universal basic income, which, of course, Yang pushed when he was running for president. And then Kanye talked about it on Drink Champs. But we have to realize they're telling us in real time, this market isn't as strong as it should be. Let's get all the gains. Let's let crypto run up. Let's let personal income run up. Let's let the housing market run up, business run up. And here's the thing that I want to tell you, please write this down. Start putting your money away. So when this does happen, if the Fed don't use the printer as much as they did the last time, you're going to have to be able to hunker down and have some cash on the side, because this crash could be nastier. And I said it last week and I'll say it again. If you've had a chance to get extraordinary gains, 50 and 80% long-term, 1,000% in crypto, 4 and 8,000% in futures, why are they allowing that? They're allowing it because they know they printed too much money that is unsustainable. Get all the money while you can now. And when things are rough, we gave you an opportunity to get all the money that you needed. The signs are there.
Profound. We also have to talk about crypto, because it is also at all-time high levels.
Yeah, Ethereum, all-time high.
Ethereum's at 4,700, 4,756 to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bitcoin, 66,000, quickly approaching the 70,000 mark.
I think 66.9 is the all-time high.
Litecoin is up 12% today. Litecoin is at $224. Mm-hmm. And I do have to make a correction. Last week, I said... I jumbled my words, but I did say that Stellar was backed by Microsoft. They are actually backed by IBM.
IBM, yeah.
So just in the correction error for that. But
anybody hit you up about that?
No, nobody did. But you know, right. Just wanted to.
I got you, bro.
Good journalistic practice.
Yeah.
When he after, I was like, damn, that's IBM, bro.
best practices. So yeah, crypto is also, you know, it hasn't really been getting a lot of attention. The stocks have been dominating the conversation, mm-hmm. but you know, outside of like, you know, the meme coins. But yeah, keep an eye on crypto. It's been steadily moving. Yeah. Mass adoption. We talked about MasterCard. We spoke about Visa. A few different, yeah, Visa, MasterCard. So yeah, mass adoption coming. Banks piling money in. People are getting, you know, ready to start, you know, accepting crypto on a wide level. We did speak to Muhammad on Saturday when we did the podcast, and we asked him about crypto. That's in the episode. And he had some interesting views on crypto. What I'm learning is that a lot of these countries in Africa, crypto is banned. Mm-hmm. It's banned in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It's banned in Egypt. So you can look at that one of two ways. I look at that as that's actually a positive thing, because, A, they're still actually getting around that. They're still actually doing crypto. So you can't ban it. That just goes to show that even though the government has tried to ban it, this hasn't really worked. Mm-hmm. And B, there's still a large portion of the world that is still trying to suppress crypto. So what mm-hmm. happens when they finally give up? There's still a tremendous up wave mm-hmm. for crypto to just go up crazy.
And it's interesting, the places that we just talked about and the suppression are the places that could use it the most. Where you have a digital form of currency where it can't be controlled. A lot of these places, like we said, they're banking, that there aren't banks where they can just go down the road and I'm going to my Chase, right? There's miles and miles between banks and currencies. I mean, banks and transactions. So it's like, all right, if we have a digital currency that's universal, this could work. So it's interesting because, again, like you said, a lot of the two places that we travel have been banned, but all the people, the young people in these countries, all of them. First thing they want to talk about is what crypto should I invest in. I mean, literally in Nigeria, the first question we got asked is, can we talk about crypto? Can we talk about crypto? Oh, we'll talk about my portfolio, but let's talk about crypto.
And first. It's so crazy because we was in Nigeria. And I didn't get a chance to say this, but we did a networking event in Nigeria also. And
shout out to Bizzle.
There was three doctors. Shout out to Bizzle. There was three doctors that came and they watched Market. Market Mondays is actually very big in Nigeria.
There's going to be an episode out there. Very soon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because it actually comes on at 2 o'clock in the morning out there. And one o'clock in the morning out there. So they was telling me they stay up. It's like a routine. Some people stay up at 1 o'clock in the morning to watch it. Other people, you know, they watch it when they wake up or they watch it the next day.
I love y'all.
Yeah, it's we went to the radio station and they talk about Market Monday.
Yeah.
So a few of the doctors that came, no, they was lawyers. Three lawyers came to the networking event. From Nigeria, and they was talking about how they watch Market Mondays and all that. So two of the guys were talking about stocks. The other guy was talking. No, it was four lawyers. Two was talking about stocks. Two was talking about crypto. And they was debating which one is better. And I'm like, you got to do both. You got to do a combination of both.
Those my guys. We had like a whole round table.
Yeah, those guys.
Shout out to my dudes.
They were cool dudes. But I say that to say, just for even having that conversation, and they asked me about Solana. They asked me about, you know, Dogecoin. They asked me about crypto, Ethereum 2.0. And then the other guys talking about stocks, long-term buy and hold. So it's interesting because, A, this is why this conversation is so crazy. So four doctors in Nigeria come to our networking event saying they watch Market Mondays every week. That alone is crazy within itself, if you think about it. The fact that we have a networking event in Nigeria that goes crazy, that these people watch Market Mondays, that's crazy within itself. The second part is crazy is that crypto is banned in Nigeria, but also they don't have access to brokerage accounts because they don't. If they're a Nigerian citizen, they don't have access to brokerage accounts. So a lot of people actually couldn't invest in stocks. But what I found out is that a lot of them have deep ties to the UK. So they kind of find back way doors. So long story short, they really can't even invest in stocks and they really can't even invest in crypto. But they're having a debate about stocks and crypto.
Yeah.
So you can't stop it. You can't suppress it.
And the interesting thing about Nigeria is that they've created their own crypto. The government has created their own cryptocurrency.
And they're not. Right? And, nobody's
jacking.
Nobody likes that.
They're like,
they're not. They are very against that.
Even being underbanked and not having access. Everybody, you guys can put in chat. Why do you think that is? Let's take the which one you like more out of the equation. We have to realize that money is the biggest tool of war that we all have. So if you don't have access to it, don't have knowledge to, it is a tool of liberation. So if something can run up 1,000%, or my guy Drew asked me earlier when we were talking, it's like, okay, great. With everyone learning about investing that's black and brown now, lower income, white Americans, what's going to happen? I'm like, they're going to price us out of it. So like the estimates of, and Bitcoin will hit 100 grand and some change. I said next year, let me get a price. We should probably get to 100,000, 717, and probably 8 or 9 months. Most people won't be able to even afford Bitcoin at that point. Ethereum is taking off to the upside, which I said before, Vitalik is an amazing creator and developer. Him and Charles partnered together on ADA, they split. But Vitalik came out of Peter Thiel's fellowship. You have to go look at the chain of events. So you mean to tell me if he, because what Bitcoin really is and Ethereum is what PayPal Mafia wanted PayPal to be. They got blocked and had issues with the mafia and banks and hedge funds. This is their revenge. So it's just deeper than that. But also, if we don't have access and then we go through this automation period and we go through a deep, because honestly, if they wouldn't have done quantitative easing, the crash would have been greater than the Great Depression. They have to stop it. But they're trying to price us out of certain assets because it is a tool of liberation. And that's why I'm always screaming at you guys, invest every month. Hey, should I dollar cost average? Buy every month, man. Let it be the first bill that you pay and the acumen that you get will carry over to everything else. And then you guys can go back and look at the Cuban episode. I told you guys how to get in. You can use that same methodology for getting into stocks as crypto. And then stocks should be your foundation. Crypto should be your secondary layer. Your top layer should be futures. And then you can produce all the money that you want for yourself short term and long term.
And if you don't know how to invest in crypto, we did a masterclass. Shout out to Alistair. Shout out to Lawrence. An absolute masterclass 2 weeks ago. We spoke about this on YouTube. Go check it out. It talks about all this. Talks about Ethereum 2.0. If you don't, Ethereum 2.0 is on its way with all these coins being built on the Ethereum platform.
Mm-hmm.
With the rise of NFTs, which are also being run through the Ethereum platform.
Yep.
This is a major event in the
crypto. And don't sleep on Cardano because every price that we've called for, shout out Kayla, the returns on that have been crazy there. Wait for the right price. And here's the thing, the methodology and tactics that I'm teaching you guys, I know I cover stocks first because I want that to be a long-time foundation. This applies to every part of business. building your business. So if you have a business and you're buying goods, there is an equation that you need to have. You can use Fibonacci for your pricing to buy any good or material. You have to know how to be able to buy water, snow, rainwater in Idaho, Dutch cheap, like everything. You should know the price where you're going to get a multiple on any item that you buy and where you can be able to sell it. That way you won't have to go through the cycle of boom and bust and you'll be okay. So if I've made you money, please put yes in chat.
Yes, in
master
chat.
This.
Hey, Ian, you said boom or bust. So I'll just throw this out there. Peloton. Peloton took a major hit. They dropped 35% on Friday. One of those COVID stocks, I invested in a Peloton. I love the machine. But it was one of those things when people were stuck at home and wanted to exercise and could have go to gyms, it made a lot of sense.
Shout out to Nas. He said, Mal's on a Peloton. I've been working on my core.
It's a great exercise. Great product. But the COVID restrictions are being lifted. People are going back outside, and now they're going back to gyms. And so the certainty in the future of Peloton is going to be interesting, right? But that's not there's an opportunity in this. This is why I'm saying this, right? Mm-hmm. When we see something like that, one of these COVID stocks where we saw that it made a lot of sense and they saw a lot of profit. I think the stock grew like hundreds of
percent. Yeah, it went from $17 to
500%
in the year, went to 164.
So some crazy percentage, right? Yeah. Now the stock is falling 35%.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because their earnings were terrible. The guidance is, it just doesn't.
But they haven't fallen since September.
I know, but it's short term. Just short term. It's short term. However, what people need to look at in investing is like, okay, if that's true and people are going back to gyms, well, what gym could I invest in? And if you weren't paying attention, Planet Fitness hit an all time high. Planet Fitness hit an all time high today. Because again, people are going back outside and going to gyms and going to gym memberships, and that's a very low price point gym. And so when there is something that is taking a hit short term or maybe long term, always look at the competitor or the alternative, right? If we were stuck inside and Peloton was the thing and gyms took a hit, now people are back outside, Planet Fitness is all time high, Peloton stock drops. It's the way things work. So just keep your eye on both sides of the game.
Yeah.
And I'll say this too. Please write this down. Shout out to Trap, because Trap is the best at the fundamental side, right? So whenever I see Trap talk about fundamentals, I'm like, gotta step my game up, right? But you have to look and see.
Yeah, training.
No, that's the Think or Swim. Yeah. But the business model of Peloton is terrible. So you're selling a premium machine, great, and then so everybody go to Peloton.com or One Peloton, and then look, like a $15 membership, you have to factor in what is the recurring churn that they have on a business. Now, $15 a month, or if you pay more, it's not, if you have a premium bike and then don't have a premium package to let you offset some of the costs, you're going to be in trouble. And it's one of the things I always tell people, like, well, if you sell based on price alone, you're going to get undercut, because then all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of apps that are given the same workouts, maybe not the same experience, but the same workouts for $2.99 in the app store. And now the people who were buying off of that reason alone price will go to the cheapest price. Then they have the gear and material, but they're not out doing Lululemon. Shout out to Ty. Like, my guys, Ty been screaming Lululemon for 3 or 4 years. Like, they have no true competitive advantage. Is the technology fascinating? Yes. But you also have to look at what the costs are to run that kind of business. And when you are more hardware facing than you are software, it's not a good long-term investment. It was a hell of a trade. But when you guys are looking at a space, like, who in the gym and fitness space is the number one player, hands down? Homework assignment number two. So, I mean, and I said it, it wasn't just because of earnings. They had been falling since September. The signs were there. Mm-hmm. And now from that all-time high, they dropped back down to 5386 and some change. Like, that's not a good sign. A great stock isn't going to tumble down 40%. This is the drop because of earnings, but they have been declining since September and they haven't been in upward motion technically since June. Right. A great company. And I know you guys get tired of me screaming Apple. This is why I always say, I've never went to sleep since Tim Cook has been at the helm and been like, damn, I know Apple's going to fuck up my portfolio today.
Right.
You know what? Safety is baked into some of the top companies, and Peloton is not a great product, but is not top of the pile when it comes to this industry.
And they were early on with the supply chain issues. I remember like ordering a bike, it was like, oh, you'll get it in 4 months. And it's like early COVID. And so as soon as they caught up to the inventory, they changed the product. It was like, okay, we're announcing the new bike. And I'm like, wait, I just got the old bike. And now you have a premium bike. It was just like, and then I guess kind of the competitive advantage, I remember Apple had put out their software, their finished software, and was like, yeah, Apple is the company, but Peloton had the product. But as soon as people start seeing the product, they're like, all right, we can make the product. Now your competitive advantage just kind of goes away a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do long term to try to reverse course here.
But please write this down. You have to invest in businesses that has an advantage that no one else has on earth. I'll say it again. You have to invest in businesses that has an advantage that no one on earth has. That's why I keep saying if you guys have read the book, The One Thing, you have to pick the one thing that you're going to master. For me, it is getting the best prices on the planet so nobody on earth can fuck with me. There's 1,000 fitness apps that you can go to. And let's be honest, most people are not going to stay with any subscription-based fitness thing for longer than 28 months. So that's the best client. Most people are going to sign up in January or summer, stay 2 or 3 months, and then drop off. So now your marketing expenses are way higher to acquire a new customer. Let's say if the membership is 15, but it may cost them $115 to acquire a customer for the membership. Now you're a negative return, hoping to break even, knowing that they won't stay for 8 months, versus if Apple takes 30% off of everybody in their ecosystem, they don't have the same churn rate and same concerns. So yes, Epic may have left and Fortnite won't pay, but it's thousands of other apps that will. Compare business model and do the versus the business model. That'll always tell you who you should invest in.
Okay, let's talk about this. Why, because you say this a lot, but let's really dive into this. Why is it important to invest in the number one leader in the industry? It's kind of an obvious question, but I really want to just drive this home and explain it to people in the easiest understanding
way possible. Yeah.
Way possible.
But because we don't want, like, anybody that we've ever seen, like, wear knockoff Jordans, where it's like, he not so jump, man, he like this and awkward. So there's two frames of thought. Like, sometimes pioneers get arrows and they don't make it, but the ones that end up being number one, write this down. The leader in the space usually produces the highest returns. So what's the number one advertising business of all time?
Number one advertising?
Of all time.
Like Google. Advertising?
Google. There is no person or company or entity on earth that can do what they can do in terms of search engine. Bing is okay if you want privacy. DuckDuckGo, there's a couple other ones that are niche that you can invest in. Number one business when it comes to advertising, hands down. And I come from a marketing advertising background. Google has done what Ogilvy and Mather could have never dreamed of, what Deutsch Agency could have never dreamed of, right? What Landor could have never dreamed of. Number one computer company, Apple. Number one EV company, Tesla, right? Then if you look at companies that have a legal monopoly, like Pool, majority of all supplies for Pool supplies comes through the company, ticker POOL. Stryker, for those of you that are in the healthcare space, they have a preeminent and dominant position in that betting and what contracts will go through hospitals. Most hospitals, if you go to them, if you look on the side, they're owned by Stryker. Number one social media company, Facebook, now Meta. The competitors that they have, if they're not in that number one seat, the market cap isn't as high, the return isn't as great. The people that back them as angels and VC, they're not the top tier. So anytime, I always look at it like this. Who is number one and who are the knockoffs? I want to get the top two and leave everything else alone. So sometimes when people like they want, they miss Tesla, so now they want plug. I'm like, plug is okay. I caught it at 21, but it's better to hold Tesla for a 5-year period than to get an inferior company and get a third or fourth best player.
Yeah, we got temperature control really quickly.
No, you good?
Yeah. So I'm going to add something because we spoke and you didn't say e-commerce, and if you did say e-commerce, I would imagine you would say Amazon.
Amazon.
Yes, I have a full Jollibee on. I have a
the
culture.
You Regal, you hot?
I've been in Africa for 2 years.
It was freezing.
I was actually
freezing. Okay.
Yo, we about to end this market Monday. It's early. It's like an ice box. Like, yo, this is crazy.
We got it all.
I am in Africa for real. We've been in Africa for 2 weeks. I have fully been adopting the cultures in Nigeria, and now we are in Egypt.
That's lovely.
So, yes.
And I actually got a question real quick just to piggyback off that.
Yeah,
what's the number one gym shoe of all time?
Jordan.
The number one shoe of all time is the Nike
Air Force One. But I mean, he means like cultural influence.
And sales.
Jordan.
That's because he was number one in the space. When the thing that Nike built with the Greek mythology of picking the name Nike around winning and victory, people don't want to have brands or wear things that are representative of losing. So there's no reason to invest in something that is inferior. Like even with Microsoft, they had Microsoft from the peak in 2000 when Gates left to when Ballmer left, they dropped 70%. Was a top tier company. You just needed a top tier coach. Shout out to the Knicks. I know I said y'all was trash before the year started. Y'all been doing great. I gotta come correct that, right? But playing aggressive, you know. But like when Microsoft got a better CEO, and they made the adjustment with Azure. And they had better products, they rose back to the top. And if you look on the enterprise side, that software is used more, even to this day, even with them having that dead 10 years, most people still use Microsoft products in Office. Mm-hmm. So you have to look for who is the number one in the space, avoid the knockoffs, and that's where all the gains are going to be for you.
That is true. Can I do something real quick? I want to do my, I said I was going to do this last week. We ran out of time.
Real quick. Let me just say this before, because he was saying,
I did cut him off.
Yeah. We were speaking about Rivian last week and we said they're going to IPO this month. They actually is going to IPO tomorrow. I think that it's going to begin trading Wednesday, but it's going to IPO tomorrow, $72 to $74 per share. That's what I think based on its valuation, that's where it's opening at. And so we spoke about EV market last week when we talked about Amazon and how that would help its revenue. The success of Rivian would also help the growth of Amazon. And so
absolutely,
I'll give an update on that. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so the life insurance conversation is something that I talked about briefly last week, but I wanted to talk about it. And there's so much to talk about. I realized I want to kind of break this down like different episodes and talk about like, you know, a couple of like 5 minutes. Different little tidbits here and there. So today I want to talk about something. So it's been a long debate about which one is better, whole life or term. And people always, you know, go back and forth about this. And whole life is a type of policy that actually lasts your whole life, hence the name. And it builds what's called cash value that you can actually borrow from. It's kind of like equity in a house, best way I can really explain it. Mm-hmm. Term insurance is basic insurance where you pay a premium and you have a death benefit, and the term lasts, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 year term. It's really simple to understand. You pay a premium. If you die, you have a death benefit that pays out within that term. So the benefits of the term is that the premiums are like really, really low. Mm-hmm. And you know, the knock on whole life is that the premiums are a lot richer. So like $1 million of term, let's say it might be $50 a month for, you know, a 35-year-old. A 30-year-old, and for that same whole life policy, it might be $700 a month, or $900 a month for $1 million policy. So that's always been a knock on the whole life. So we could debate another time which one is better, but I do want to give people another alternative to that, which is kind of a hybrid approach of what's called guaranteed universal life. And the guaranteed protection universal life actually provides a lifelong death benefit, but it doesn't actually build cash value. It's not designed to build cash value in the same way as whole life. So what that does is it actually brings the premium down. So this is for people that want a lifelong death benefit, but may not have the budget or just don't want to pay the premium for whole life or don't want to actually, you know, use the life insurance to build cash value. There is an alternative. You don't have to do one or the other. You can do that middle line. And that premium is usually in between the whole life and the term. So that's a really good alternative, like I said, for somebody that just wants I just want life insurance and I want to guarantee that it's going to be there for my whole entire life. But I want the lowest costing option possible. And then also another way to actually use life insurance, I spoke about this a while ago, but I realized we have a lot of new listeners since then, is what's called second to die policy. So most of the time when people think about life insurance, they think about, like, let's say, you know, Troy, he's married. So if he dies, his wife gets money, and then she has a life insurance policy. And if she dies, he gets money. That's easy to understand, right? That's usually how it works. But the second to die policy is a little bit more complex, where it's, let's say, Troy and his wife, they have a second to die policy. So it pays out on the second person's death. So what it's designed for is kind of like a trust situation where you're actually, you know, most of the time you're leaving the money to the children. Mm-hmm. So now the life expectancy on two people is obviously a lot higher than on one person. So even if, like, let's say the husband dies at like age 50, the wife might not die to age 70. So the life insurance policy doesn't actually pay out until the wife dies. So what a lot of, when we talk about estate planning, a lot of, like, you know, wealthy people and just, you know, people that's just financially savvy or in a certain, you know, income bracket or have enough assets, they have multiple policies. So even with life insurance, you're talking about your portfolio, you can have a portfolio of life insurance because different policies perform different purposes. So you might have your own individual policy that's going to go for your, to your spouse when you pass away. But then you have your second to die policy that is on both of you guys' life. And that actually goes in a trust when you die. And now when we have a more advanced estate planning conversation about estate taxes, and, you know, we talk of we talk about an islet. We spoke about that on the trapping with EYL.
Yep.
And the islet, the individual life insurance trust. So this
we did a class too on it.
Yeah, this is something that you can actually put a life insurance policy inside of a trust. So why would you do that? Because now once you have a certain amount of wealth, you have to preserve your wealth. And one of the biggest threats to preserving wealth is taxes and estate taxes. So what the islet does, so life insurance actually gets added to your estate. If you just have it under your name, then it actually gets added to your estate, which actually can make your estate tax issue even worse. Because, like, let's say you're worth $5 million and you have a $5 million life insurance policy. Now, technically, you're worth $10 million when you die. So if you put the life insurance in a trust, it takes it out of your personal name. And now that the trust actually owns it. So it's not taxed because it's not owned by you. It's owned by the trust. So that's a way that wealthy people use life insurance to avoid paying taxes. Because now, let's say the estate tax is $2 million. You have a $5 million life insurance policy. Now the life insurance policy pays the estate tax and there's $3 million left over and it's tax-free because you took it out of your actual estate and put it in a trust. So I say that to say, you have to educate yourself on a lot of different things in this world. And some things that we even think is like simple, like you would think life insurance is a very simple thing. Buy life insurance, you die, somebody gets money. And that's true on a certain level, but there's a lot of different, you know, other issues and things that come into play. So it's very important to educate yourself. And like I said, I mean, we can do a whole 2 hours on life insurance. I'm not going to do that.
We should someday. Because same way we have 2 Tech 2 Index, you guys write this down. And first, I want you guys to put, I will have a net worth of $5 million. Please put that in chat. Because I know sometimes people hear these numbers and I'm like, well, that's not for me. Maybe not yet, but if nothing else, these last 2 years have shown there's immense opportunity everywhere. Like, so I want you to, whatever you put your mind on and your habits are, they will develop to materialize what you put your interest into. But just like I'm like 2 Tech 2 Index, like you talked about, you can have whole, have term together. You can have the guaranteed life that you talk about, islet together. And that way you have protection. Like, you have to have a base where it doesn't topple over. And whenever people are saying, hey, should you do this or that, financially, the answer is always both. It's not real estate or stocks. It is both. It is not real estate and investing in something else. Like, you need all of it because now you have a hedge. I know in our community, it's always like, well, I don't want to leave all this money to my kids or grandkids. You have to look at it like this. The stocks are for the long term, but you can enjoy some of those fruits of your labor now. Crypto, some you can enjoy now. Futures, you can definitely enjoy now. The insurance is for multiple generations. So if you're worried about, well, I'll never get to have fun with my money. If you start allocating money to these different buckets, there's a separate pile that you can have for your kids and you can still have fun. I don't want you to sit in the house and eat rice and beans for 19 years. Like, if you have to do it for two to build up your cash reserves to invest in stuff, great. But you can enjoy life and have things for your kids and grandchildren and make sure that that succession planning is there. But it's a lot of people, like you said, would debate which one is really, you need to have both. And then with term, I've known people that have paid the premium for 20 years and then didn't die on the 20th year. So they feel like it was wasted. So you have to be mindful of that to make sure you want to invest in things that is going to guarantee a payout. And if you go look, what is the percentage of term life insurance policies that get paid versus whole? And then you add the other two or three, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Most term policies don't get paid out. That's why the premiums are so low.
So cheap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. You can make a checkout to where we send an invoice for that. That was a lot, bro.
Consultation.
Real
free consultation.
That was a lot, bro.
For maximum value purposes, let's talk about this tech takeover of healthcare. And Google launched a new lab that will use AI to discover new drugs. Let's talk about that.
There are two spaces that over the next 10 or 15 years, I'm really excited about. Health tech is one. Climate tech is second. Maybe we'll talk about climate tech next week, but climate tech will produce probably 5 or 10 multi-trillion dollar companies in a very short period of time. On the healthcare side, so if Google, being the number one advertising platform of all time, they can track everything that any person has put around COVID, WebMD search, any health-related search, they can reverse engineer what people are searching and understand what drugs they need to make for the future. So when you combine that and AI and investing in this lab, they now know what drugs should come out over the next 5 or 6 years. Let's be honest. Who do we think is going to innovate a lot faster? Google or Pfizer? Google or Johnson & Johnson? So when I keep telling you, Apple, Microsoft, Google, the big three are going to put a lot of money, because the only two spaces Apple and Google has not infiltrated at scale is healthcare. Most of our money in this country goes to healthcare costs. We would be a lot better if we spent a lot of money on prevention, but the money is in the medicine.
The treatment.
Modern medicine. So you don't think Google, the same way we're looking for different avenues and different industries to be a part of to get gains, you don't think Google, Apple, and Microsoft are doing the same? Amazon has already, with the purchase of PillPack, and if they can get prescriptions down and deliver them at scale, that is an edge. Google is going to probably produce the next 3 or 4 big drugs over the next 10 to 15 years and even have more of an edge in that market and have a bigger market cap as a result.
Yeah, I think when people think same day delivery, a lot of times when we spoke about Amazon, I think people think merchandise. Mm-hmm. But they really should start thinking about healthcare, right? Because that's the really one day delivery, right? Same day delivery or hour delivery, where now you don't, after you leave the doctor, the medicine's at your house or the prescription's at your house. Within the next 5 minutes, you have to go anywhere. And so
when I put pressures on Walgreens, CVS. This is why I tell you guys, like, the people in your space are not your competition. Everybody's your competition. Like, same thing we took Kanye. Hey, I asked you guys before, if Drake took his album and turned it to a tech company, what is it worth? Now Kanye's like, yo, I'm gonna take myself and make myself public, because he know what value he's brought to every company he's touched. You don't think Google doesn't realize that the only area they really need to dominate is healthcare, and they'll have an advantage for another 25 years? This is why having big cash reserves are key. So when you guys are like, yo, Apple's moving slow, I'm like, 28 to 30% isn't slow. Like, the run that Google has had this year is not slow. but they're also putting capital and R&D into the next places in which they can dominate. The purpose of every business on earth is to not have competition. And that's why that big three combination is always pushing to dominate the world. So,
yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Kanye, man. Gave a legendary interview with Drink Champs, 5 million. Great. 5 million streams so far on that situation. So, yes.
On Revolt TV.
Yes.
Speaking and for all the creators, if you haven't seen it, go look at it in terms of like how he talks about manifesting things. Because I told you, it's not how you say it. You can say, oh man, I really want $1 million. It's not going to resonate. But if you ask yourself, what do I have to do in the next 14 weeks for my business to generate $1 million? Your brain thinks differently. So take out whether you like him or not, because you don't have to like everyone that you learn from. But a person that is actually, because you can argue Kanye is a top five designer, top five artist, and in this modern era of the last 50 years, top five marketer of all time.
Yeah.
That's a rare get. And for those of you going, when we clip this up and you say no, name me five creative directors of any ad agency worldwide. You won't be able to do it. So his ability to move product is one of a kind. So, but if he's thinking like that and he's influenced by Elon, Zuckerberg, Sergey, you don't think that they're thinking how to take over this world? And then if we go outer space to take over that world, have infrastructure there as well. So tune into the interview.
No, he's different. He's special.
Special. Now, once again, shout out to our esteemed guest that we have on the podcast tomorrow, Muhammad. And he says something that was very profound in our podcast in Egypt that we did with him. He said, rich people, they only have two places to go, outer space and then virtual space. And that's the new, those are the two frontiers. The metaverse, virtual space, AI, virtual reality, that's, where, Mark Zuckerberg and Microsoft and all these guys, that's their new frontier. And outer space, that's where, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Virgin Galactic, that's it.
Yeah.
Yep. So outer space and the virtual space, that's the only places to go. The only places left to conquer.
And all of you should be thinking of what can you build in both of those spaces that will have tremendous value.
That's the key, because it really is ground zero. It's a fresh start, mm-hmm. right? So like when we see Nike filing for patents, they're filing for a patent because it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start thinking like that, right? So there's a bunch of companies in that space who they haven't filed for things because they don't exist. And so you can actually create. This is the time. You just got to be creative and get the knowledge and actually execute on it. Please.
And I'll say, when Cuban came on and told you that he was studying this day and night and he's already rich, because somebody on my TikTok was like, well, he got lucky one time. And so I'm like, you can't get lucky and make a billion. Can't. Gary Vee, the push that he's having in NFTs for the last year. Like, if all of these people are looking at these other spaces and they already have businesses that are doing hundreds of millions, there's a reason why. This will be our digital gold rush. So for those of you who were fortunate enough to be around the first version when AOL was out and, Yahoo Finance was the biggest thing ever in the beginning. If you missed out on that, you can't miss out on this now. And it will be more than one metaverse and a whole bunch of digital landscapes that you can build upon. But this is why I say read, because everything that's happened in the past at some point will have to be recreated. The first wave in the metaverse, you're going to need infrastructure for payments and trust, verification of people and entity. Like, go look at what happened during Web 2.0, what was needed, infrastructure. And for my people in construction that know how to build, it's the same thing when you're building the city. You need infrastructure first, you need financing, you need trust, then you need leadership. Then you can build on top of that. But until you have infrastructure and trust and safety, because the biggest issue with Web 1.0, you didn't know where to buy from because people were scamming. And then that's when certificates came out. And then Amazon eventually got a lead because eBay was slower than they should be. And the issues with PayPal. Go study the history of tech to know what will be dominant there over the next 25 years.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Ross, said on assets over liability, shameless plug, that $10 million, you should be extremely nervous with $10 million. And that went, got clipped up all over the internet. And a lot of people, one of these things, very controversial statement for him to say, but
it's not controversial if it's like,
well, a controversial as far as for the understanding of a lot of people don't, you know, sound bites.
Yeah.
It was clickbait.
Can be taken, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Different ways. But I understand it. I understand what he's saying. But, you know, the average person that's making, you know, $50,000 a year, they like $10 million. Like, what? Like, that's crazy. So it sounds like a lot until you actually make $10 million. And then it's like, well, maybe it's not a lot. It's like $1 million, maybe.
And then, I mean, but here's what we have to realize. And COVID has made us more than ever understand this. Is the reason why some of the depression rates are higher in 5% of people is because they've realized over the last 18 months that everything that we were sold upon in our youth and early adulthood was an absolute lie. Go to school, everything will work out. Take this path, you'll be happy. That's why I tell you guys, like, even having the money is just one part of the equation to actually having wealth. You need health, family, finance, spiritual side, fitness, companionship, purpose to truly have wealth. Money is just one part. Now, when I was like, hey, you need 60 months. I thought it was crazy too, until the guy showed me the 60 months. So if Rick Ross is telling you he will be nervous with 10, what do you think the reserves of Bezos has to be? And this is why do you think Apple has a certain amount of cash on hand in case all hell breaks loose? Because when you have the 10 million, it's not just you. If we hit a harsh recession and they don't print money, Rick Ross probably going to take care of 115 people.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that makes it out of our community is black. It's not just us. It's a whole bunch of people. That's a mini ecosystem that we create. But here with the Kanye thing, Elon, Rick Ross, Chris Sacca, well, sometimes when people tell you the truth, if it hurts here when you hear it, there's a reason that is resonating with you. And one of my favorite quotes from Dick Gregory has always been, I don't have to market the truth to you. The truth is what it is. So if making 50 or 60,000 was more than enough, or 80,000 or even 100,000, no one would care. The truth is, when we hear that kind of statement, it means that we have to be accountable and then do more, build more, execute more, be on our game more. And that's why I'm telling you guys, when I'm pushing you, hey, buy this, I've done all, even do your research. I've done the research. If I made money, put yes in chat if you knew. Watch the comments. A lot of it is executing. And here's the thing. With the automation thing, inflation being crazy, we're going to get priced out of a lot of jobs as well. And then, yes, at some point, we probably will have universal basic income. I guarantee you there will be a disparity of what the income we receive versus others will receive.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay everybody $2,500 a month or $4,000 a month, just because there are going to be tiers even to that. So yes, the truth hurts sometimes, but at least we have to applaud those who are willing to put their careers and lives on the line to tell us what the true amounts are that we need to hit.
Yeah. And like you said, man, there's a lot of ways to equate wealth. And it was interesting because, I mean, context is key. Like, the clickbait, it starts with me saying $1 million, you should be walking on eggshells. The context was that Mark Cuban said it,
yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, yo, says a lot from the guys who were making a lot of money. And I'm like, that's mind-boggling. 6 years ago, I was making $100,000 teaching kids fine motor skills, right? We got creative, we executed on a vision, and money became a byproduct of what we did. It never was like, hey, this is the goal. But we always had a mindset that we were going to be wealthy, right? We were wealthy here first. I like that quote. And I forget who said it to me. It was like, yo, I was always a millionaire. My bank account just didn't match it. But I was always a millionaire in my mind. You could never tell me that I wasn't. And so when I see those the comments, and it's like, well, it says a lot. And I'm if I ever had $1 million, I wouldn't have to walk on eggshells. And I'm like, it's the mindset, right? Because when you do, then you realize how much responsibility that you do have. And how much you're going to have to take care of others, and how much you're going to be looked upon to take care of others. And that's really the context of it. Not that, oh, hey, it's $1 million and most people won't ever see that. No, the mindset here first.
To push forward, yeah. And it's the easiest era ever to make money, especially for black.
That's that little Wayne quote. You know what I'm talking about?
This I know. Come on, I know a bunch of. What are you talking about?
When he did an interview a while back, and guy was interviewing.
Nah, I know what you're talking about.
And then it's like, he said something about, you know, being a millionaire, whatever. And he was like, are you a millionaire? He's like, are you a millionaire? And the guy was like, no. And he was like,
how can you tell me what
you don't know how millionaires think? Yeah. And then he went off on him and went in his little Wayne rant. But in between his rant, there's some truth to that. The harsh reality of it is that. Yeah, everybody sounds. You can say anything. You can say anything. You can say, yeah, if I had this, I could. If I was Jeff Bezos, there would be no poverty in the world. If I was a millionaire, I would have no worries. If I had, maybe, maybe not. You don't know that until you
there
actually.
There are levels, that's what I tell you. There's no such thing as true freedom. I'm telling you from experience. There's no such thing. Like even with you think it's not just competitive drive, and that their alpha and testosterone levels are higher than 99% of people on all planet. There are certain reserves and information that they have access to that they know. That's why I told you guys when we made that post before and everyone got mad. The levels of wealth, right? Adjusted for inflation for the late 1800s or early 1900s, $1 million back then is $24 to $28 million. That's what you need to be rich. That's why top tier NBA players get paid between $20 and $30 million. What I want you to do right now, everyone, if you had and your life was on the line and you had 2 years, what business would you create to make $30 million? It's a great, so even with trading, I'll give you all a trading gym. Whenever I'm trying to hit a new goal, I ask myself a ridiculous question that makes my brain search for the answer. So the question I asked myself 5 months ago, what could I do? What parameters would I put in place? If I never wanted to lose trades for the next 19 years, what would that framework look like? What time would I trade? What assets would I stay away from? Which one has volume? Which institutions will be in here for 15 years? Even if an asteroid hit and dinosaurs come back and we go to space, which markets will still be open that I then could trade? Then I told you guys about water. In another 15 to 20 years, everything that we see on a food pyramid, which is not the real food pyramid, if you go look, that was paid for, will be GMO. Mm-hmm. There's an incredible crisis that's happening in real time. But if you find a way to make solutions, there is money waiting there for you hand over fist. It's just that we were lied to our entire lives and not told the real information. And once you wake up and see that, and you can see the game inside of the game, and as a community, we're powerful as hell, we'll be good.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another glorious Market Mondays. It's always a pleasure reporting live from Egypt. Once again, we've been in Africa for 12 days, and it's crazy because this is our first time ever going to Africa. So our first time in Africa, we spent half a month here. Getting fully settled in, become locals.
Yeah, we lost track of what sleep is.
I haven't slept in a while.
I can only imagine. Yeah, I'm seeing y'all still post all times of night. Nigeria, yeah. If y'all want us to come over there and do Market Mondays live, please put Market Mondays in chat. We'll set some up
right now.
Let's set it up, Nigeria. Let's set this Market Mondays up.
Yeah, let's set it up.
Real quick, shout out. Got to get quick shout out. We shout out Bizzle. Shout out the whole team in Nigeria. But let me shout out the Hogans and the Morsi and Hogans family for taking care of us here in Egypt. So shout out to.
Oh yeah, Inez. Also.
Shout out to Euro. Shout out to Sham. Shout out to the whole family, man. Appreciate y'all.
Shout out to them. That's our people. One Love Travel Club. Ooh. You guys are amazing. Shout out to Chloe. Shout out to Javon. This is what we're in Egypt with actually, I believe, 29 people, earners from all over the country that, you know, it's a trip. And this is the first time that we've ever done something like this, but it's extremely dope. It's like a mastermind. Like people, you know, they're networking with each other. They're building. They're talking about stocks, real estate, crypto. We're doing excursions with each other. We're eating with each other. So you know, EY University. We talk about like a community. This is actually like a real, real community feel. And One Love Travel Club was the company that actually reached out to us. Black owned company, travel company, and they do this with different influencers from all different, you know, walks of life. And they do a great, great job once again. So shout out to them. This has been a very enjoyable experience. Highly recommended. You guys are a class act. Appreciate it. And this was a dope experience.
And this won't be the last one. That's for sure.
I'm not missing the next one.
Listen, if you saw, like, when we look out this window right here, if you see what I'm looking at, you really would understand. And I sent you the picture. That's outside my window that I sent you. If you saw what Luxor looked like, you would understand why this wouldn't be the last one. Top of the line. Shout out to y'all.
Shout out.
What are the top two lessons you guys have learned or picked up since you've been out there that has had like a tremendous impact on your life?
Oh man, just relationships. I mean, I kind of knew that already, but relationships is everything in life. And you know, it's so crazy because, you know, when I did the TED talk and I was talking to some of the guys there, and they were saying, like, you know, you guys just move off of like relationships. And I never really thought about it, but that's really true. Like, you know, we don't have like a, you know, booking agent or anything like that. Like, we literally, at first we was moving around the country from Detroit to Miami to the Bay to LA. Mm-hmm. Like, we just moved around the country making strong relationships in each city, networking, meeting people from, you know, Chill and, you know, the whole BMF crew in Detroit to Al Harrington and, you know, Baron Davis and all of our guys, Dave Gross in LA, to, you know, everywhere we go, we just making connections. And that same ideology has carried with us overseas. Mm-hmm. When Nigeria, we plugged in crazy. Shout out to Bizzle, shout out to the whole team.
Chinu,
Asa,
what's up?
And just like, you know, in Egypt now, right? Like, shout out, like I said, One Love Travel, they connected us with a bunch of great people. So relationships will determine your experiences in life, especially when you're traveling. You can have a good time or you can have a bad time. And 90% of that is going to be determined on who you know. And also 90% of your wealth will be determined on who you know.
Yes.
Not only because, you know, you can plug in to have business relationships, but also just your environment, right? Like, as far as the conversation. So we're in the van and, my guy, Javon, who put this trip together, he's not really into stocks like that, but he said he's going to get into stocks. So all of us is in the van, me, Troy, Bam, Jamal, the whole crew. And we're talking about, you know, stocks, crypto. We're talking about, you know, different option plays and all that. And he's just listening. He's like, yo, this is crazy. Like, y'all having a real conversation about stocks. Like, it's nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all talking about stocks, like how we just talking about, like, regular music or pop culture. He's like, yo, this is so dope. Like, I got to. But he was like, I say that to say, he was like, if I was around this, I would have no choice but to get
in. Yep.
Nobody wants to just be the person that's not doing anything, just sitting in the corner. Like, you have to. So it's like positive peer pressure. So choose your relationships. And once again, this is why, you know, taking trips with like-minded people is really, really dope. So this is something that we're going to do. But choose your relationships and choose the people that you're around very, very careful, because that can make or break the whole situation.
Yeah, and I'll go from an education standpoint, man. Exposure is sometimes the best teacher. And so, like I said, we got our families here. And so the ability to expose my children into history, like literally history, and give them the true definition of history from an authentic place, not from a textbook or somebody's opinion, but actually show them, like, this is where mathematics started. And like I said, this is where science started. And this is where agriculture, when we're talking about the Nile and the fertilization that's around here, like, we're literally sitting on the Nile and it's greenery, and like a mile further, it's the desert. And so that's, you know what I mean? Just seeing that from a hot air balloon, but explaining it and why it happened that way, and explaining the floods. So exposure, especially for my educators and parents, expose your kids to real education and teach them. There's a lesson in everything. There's a lesson in everything. Walking in the park, you can pull up a lesson. So exposure, being around and showing them things and giving them a true, authentic an education, because we can't rely. We know that for sure. And I'm telling you, being in a public education system, we can't rely on that, and we're not going forward. So make sure you take the time out. Make sure that you're not only there, but you're present. It's two different things. Being there and being present are two different things. And so make sure that you're present, and make sure that you apply the education that you know, but also make sure that you're educating yourself going forward. Because a lot of things I don't know that I'm willing to learn so I can teach my kids. And so
you have to learn every day. Yep.
I encourage everybody to do that.
I'm letting my hair grow. I've been out here for 12 days. I'm not bald.
That's what you come with after I said that?
I'm not. No,
trying to play you.
No. I'm not trying to play him. But some people were confused. They always get confused. I have a low haircut. But as you can see, I'm not bald. And I have been away for 12 days. So I will be getting a haircut when I get back to stateside.
You stay lined up though. You good?
Oh well, that's a major in life. Yeah. But just you know
what?
Just you know,
I didn't know that's what he was going.
Keep that in perspective.
All right, real quick, earnings report. We got two companies earnings. We got Coinbase. I know is on Tuesday, and DoorDash.
Airbnb went crazy today. By the way.
Shout out to Airbnb.
Airbnb is a stock that I own. Airbnb went crazy today.
Yeah. Yo.
Put in chat what price I told you guys to get in on coin, and did you execute? It's been on a hell of a run. And to tie into what you guys said.
I meant to.
Yeah. The five people you hang around with will determine your net worth, and on top of that, the five habits. So if you only had five actions that you can take every day, and as a result, you can make $5 million a year, what would those five habits be? Like that thing you guys talked about like circumference and people that's in proximity and pushing each other. Like, I'm begging you guys, get around some people that push you. And if no one is pushing you, I know a lot of times people ask, like, what if your family and friends doesn't support you? They're not supposed to. It's your dream. You push you. Because before we all got together, it was like we had a vision, did it. People aren't supposed to believe in your dream because God gave it to you. Execute upon it. So I just want to say that real quick.
And shout out to Janet. I know y'all have missed her for the last couple of weeks, but she will be back. She will be back next week as soon as we get back stateside. And she's doing a great job. Shout out to UI University.
Yeah.
We do have a class on Wednesday for my guy, Credit Dude. He will be teaching a class for Wednesday for us. And Lawrence, the great Lawrence, will be teaching next Wednesday his investment class. So shout out to UI University and shout out to Janet. You guys are amazing.
Yeah. Shout out to the book club. I know they had their first session on a new book club. It's dropped to the book club.
Yeah.
Oh,
rest in peace. Once again, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Everybody affected from the Travis Scott concert. That's something that I really don't want to downplay that situation. It was a very, very unfortunate situation. And we have to, life is not promised. So, you know, we say this a lot, but whenever, you know, something like this happens, it gives us an opportunity to actually, you know, just put that message out there because, you never know what can happen. So, be safe, safety first at all times, but also live your life like it's the last day on earth. What that means is not just do reckless, stupid stuff, but, you know, tell people you love them. Say sorry if you did something that hurt somebody's feelings. Try to mend broken relationships. You know, all of these things because you never know.
Build your dream life. You may not have to next year or 23 or 24 to execute, especially if you have kids. Put things in place so they'll be good 10, 15 years from now, please.
All right. If you're not doing that, you're selfish. You heard Dame.
Yep.
Hustling for your last name, you're selfish.
Shout out to Dame Dash. I'm happy to see Kanye give Dame Dash his flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Dash is a great dude. So that was one of the highlights of the interview for me, was to hear him talk about Dame Dash in a very, very, very highlight. So
Shout out to everybody in Atlanta. We will be there.
Yes, Ian Dunlap
will be there. Revolt Summit, we will be there in the flesh.
Yes,
right off the plane, right to Atlanta.
EYL, we will be. We can say we can do it. It's public.
What?
Yeah.
I think so.
Did they announce it yet?
I think so.
They announced it.
They said we
can do. I mean, well, they sent all the setup and
they try to sell tickets. So
Yeah.
So. EYL will be interviewing Chance the Rapper. You know what's so crazy about this? Chance the Rapper is actually one of my favorite rappers. And that Coloring Book album, I was always like, yo, this kid is nice. Like,
I got a classic. I was the original guy who supported the three hats.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand that. Yeah. I'm saying the Coloring Book, like, I was good really, album. Really, that was a classic album. So we will be interviewing Chance the Rapper at Revolt Summit. And Ian...
Me and Ross Mack will be talking about the investing pyramid. So,
you and Jim Jones on that panel too.
Sorry, Capo.
Yeah, it's you, Ross Mack, Jim Jones, and somebody else. But I looked at it the other day. Yeah. So I don't know if you knew that or not. But yeah, you and Jim Jones on the panel.
So I'll be talking about how to integrate long term investing with crypto, with futures on top of it, and then how to have a money machine out of that. So. I got a couple of surprises. I wrote my talking points out this morning. For those of you going to be there, it's going to be a show. And then stay tuned, man. We've got some big stuff coming.
You never know what could happen in Atlanta.
Market Mondays live at the Apollo Theater. Once again, before we leave, get your tickets. We will be having Dipset, Jim Jones, Santana will be performing.
And Saturday. We may end up having a versus.
Yeah.
So if you know, shout out Styles.
Saturday, we're going to be talking about real estate. My brother, MG, the mortgage guy. Dream Team Snipers will be in the building talking about futures. Chico will be talking about stocks. You'll be opportunity to meet me, Troy, Ian, and the whole crew. Of course, you know how we do. Everybody's going to come. Yeah, all of our, 10 alumni is going to be there. You know how any EYL, Red Panda situation, how it's going to happen. So monumental event. And then Ian added a special bonus where they get in to the futures program.
Yeah. Yep. The sniper program has been shut down. I'm not bringing it back. So anybody who gets a ticket, if you got it already, you're good. We'll take care of you. But anybody who gets a ticket for the Friday event, you will be added to the sniper program for free. And it's a lot of people made a lot of money off that program. So if you missed out and didn't get in, this is the only way you'll be able to get in. Join. Please join.
You go to Market Mondays at the Apollo, you'll be entered into the Snipers program, the legendary Snipers program.
Yeah, for futures. Yep. Real quick, before we wrap up, if you guys can put five things that you guys want to see for 2022 for Market Mondays and Stock Club, please put that in chat now because we're going to do some real special stuff. We was talking earlier about some things we're going to add and some surprises. So I want to hear from you guys first. Tell me five things you want us to add to Market Mondays and Stock Club, and I'm going to create some magic for you guys. So, and if we made you money, please put yes in chat. I don't know where else. You guys tell me. I haven't found another platform that's been as accurate, humbly. So let's continue to run it up, and then we can go buy businesses and countries.
Market Mondays taking over the world, man.
Yeah, man. And this episode of Market Mondays is brought to you by Ally Financial, the leading digital financial service company with passionate customer service and innovative financial solutions. They're relentlessly focused on doing it right and being a trusted financial service provider to both customers and communities. Here with Ally to make the most of your money so you can save, invest, and spend on things that matter to you. Shout out to Ally. Shout out to the digital conference that happened last week. Everybody that checked it out, pretty dope. Love is love. Y'all know how we do.
Atlanta, it will be in the building this weekend. Africa, it's been real. We're winding down our stay in Africa, and we are going to Atlanta.
Yeah. Next stop, Atlanta. Yeah,
next stop, Atlanta.
It's going to be fun.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Love y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.